This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show.
Truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Welcome to LOA Today. Welcome, Joel. It's Thursday, February 25th, 2016. And we're going to turn the world upside down today. Well, that's one way of putting it. I guess another way to put it is we're going to make it the opposite of what it is. No, that still doesn't make any sense. Joel, why don't you explain what we're going to do with this bizarre world we're going to do?
Okay. When I was a child, well, first of all, it's great to talk to you.
Good talking to you, too. Absolutely.
Yes, always good, my friend. When I was a child, I was a big fan of Superman. I read the comic books, and one of the more unusual directions when they ran out of topics is they had an issue called Bizarro Superman. And in this concept of Bizarro Superman, it was Superman was a bad dude. He was not. He was the opposite of what he was in the regular comic book. So he was evil, and he was a nemesis to the world. He antagonized the world. He brought great stress to the world. So it was the opposite of what Superman was originally intended to be, and clearly, this didn't take off. We don't see any major motion pictures of Bizarro Man Superman, but it was something that I found hilarious when I was a kid. And as an adult, I often have thought about Bizarro World Superman. So, how we're going to pull this together in a law of attraction, with the law of attraction, is I have found, for me, that when I am in a fearful state, the law of attraction is working for me sort of like Bizarro World Superman's world did. I am the opposite of what I need to be. It is fear for me is actually creating, the law of attraction is pulling in what I'm fearful of. And that really is sort of a concept that when we can study how the opposite side of the law of attraction that we're seeking to use works, it can be a tool to help us understand how to really manifest what we really want in our lives.
The other thing that catches my attention about this particular topic is the idea, the notion that Bizarro Superman, or whatever he was called, was basically a dude who, as you said, he did evil. Everything that he did was evil rather than good. And the obvious parallel here is that when you are doing evil, you are acting out of fear. And that, to me, is the really big takeaway here, that fear is evil.
Well, and I have always felt, and a lot of my teachings in psychology, and especially dealing with people and families and addiction work, is I learned a long time ago, if we're taking this fear concept a little further, is the most people manifest their fear by showing anger. Anger is a sign of fear. If you ever find yourself extremely angry, if you can really get calm enough to ask yourself, what am I fearful of, you can really come to some really great discoveries that way. I use that a lot with the kids I work with. If they can really find out what they're fearful of, then that anger can be a way you can dissipate anger. And very much with that same stream, where I feel gratitude, and you often use the word appreciation, is simply the strongest state of mind for me personally to bring about what I want in my life. That is when I'm at the strongest in my mental mindset, when I'm in a state of gratitude. Well, on the exact opposite, and equally as strong on the other side, is when I'm in a fearful state, is when I bring about what I don't want in my life.
The other thing about fear, and this again tying into the concept of evil, it, to me, because if we do accept the idea that evil and fear are basically two sides of the same coin, they're basically the same thing. If we accept that idea, then we also have to accept another idea that is incredibly empowering, which is we have total control over evil.
Absolutely.
Because all we have to do, literally, is decide not to be afraid.
And once you grasp that, once that concept becomes, it's life-changing, it's life-altering, because evil can only exist in a fear-based state. So when you're living in a mindset of fear, and these evil thoughts come, and evil for everybody has maybe even a different term, but when these, in a loose sense, evil is what does not serve you, in my mind. Evil is what destroys you. And that fear is what brings that about, whereas the opposite of that is the joy and the gratitude that represents the other side of the coin. Is we wage a war every day that we talk about, basically this war in some form or fashion every week when we do the show. It is our minds have been able to accept that the fear and the evil in the world is the baseline, and the positive and the grateful and the hilarious and all the amazing stuff that goes with the good side is a rarity. And now that we have that belief, that's why I believe our world is in such a, from a lot of perspectives, from a lot of different people, in a state of turmoil, because that baseline of fear drives the evil forces at work on all sides. And it is a huge battle that takes place every day on everything from the highest government level in the world to our each individual battles that we take place every day in our head.
The really coolest part, I think, is the fact that despite the fact that, as you say, this is a worldwide phenomenon, it affects almost every area of our lives that we can think of. It's certainly in politics. We're seeing that this year with the 2016 presidential election. It's in economics, it's in careers, it's in personal relationships, it's in health, it's in every aspect of human life. And like I said, the really cool part, it sounds weird for me to say all that was the cool part. That isn't the cool part. The cool part is that despite the fact that all that is going on, we don't have to all come together and say, let's all push in the same direction. The cool part is only one of us has to think in a better direction and things get better.
And that's the answer that I'm hoping that we could get to during our talk today. The suggestion that this bizarro world of fear, the opposite attraction, and it almost seems overwhelming. But the incredible news, as you pointed out, is I think it sort of rips the bandage off, or maybe removes the curtain of mystic thought about fear and evil, and says, wait a minute. What if we are in control of evil? What if we were? What if it isn't just some random force taking place out there? That in reality, our perspective, which we're in total control of, has the ability to totally not participate in a fear-based existence, which allows, and without fear, evil cannot exist. So in a sense, we're in direct control of evil, just as our perspective dictates our reality. On the good side, we are in direct control of our reality by controlling our perspective. It's the same thing, and the reason of even discussing the other side is exactly the good news that you're talking about, is because it unveils it for what it really is. It's not something that's out of our control. It's something that, wow, wait a minute, we do have control over this.
And quite possibly the most challenging part of the whole thing is realizing and believing that what we're talking about here isn't hardly even action, although certainly action is a way to express it. But action is secondary. It's supplementary. All it really takes here is changing our mindset, changing the way we think about things.
Yes.
And I was noticing that over the weekend. Personally, I was dealing with some issues over the weekend, and as I was facing up to them, I was realizing, once again, for the umpteenth time, that the more that I focus on stuff that I don't want, the more that I get the stuff that I don't want. And that sounds so trite, but it's so easy for me, and I think for everybody else, to focus on stuff that we don't want, particularly in ways that are habitual, in the sense that I'll make it personal for myself. I have a tendency to get all worked up about certain particular issues. And what I was recognizing this weekend is I'm the one who gets all worked up about them. If I didn't get worked up, they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be a major part of my life. And that's the thing. If I make the change, if I decide to change and say, you know what? I'm not going to give weight to that stuff anymore, even though that's been important in my life for as long as I can remember. It's been one of my highest priorities to think about or chew on that stuff or to get all worked up about it. All I'm doing is just bringing more of it. all I'm really doing is just making my life miserable. It's not like focusing on all this stuff is actually making the world better. It's the opposite.
It's bringing it out more. Exactly. That awakening, such as that, and I like to call it an awakening, but we seem to have that awakening every week. So we
well, that's why we keep doing the show.
Yes, we need to rediscover that every week. But when you have the key, for me, when I have the key, and I know the answer, but I'm always baffled by my inability to use the key, even when I'm in the middle of it. Now, the days don't last very long where I'm in a downward spiral, but I can find myself allowing that to happen and participating a little while, and then pulling the plug and saying, wait a minute, I can stop this because my focus is bringing this about. I have, our audience knows, I've talked in the past about some of the kids that I've worked with, and I'm always amazed at how when I bring the concept of the law of attraction to a 12 or a 13 or a 14-year-old, how easily they implement it in their lives and make incredible progress when they really understand it, they really buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
The several kids that I've and it isn't just a temporary thing with them. They literally change. And I would love one day to have some brain studies because these kids change in a very short period of time. The adults in it that we work with, because the brain has been so long in this way of thinking that it's so opposite of what we were brought up with, I find ourselves going back to it more often, having to go back to the remedial lessons quicker than the younger generation that gets this and really buys into it and sort of implements it forever.
It's true. We the longer we live in our relatively negatively based culture, the more that we train ourselves to think negatively. So those of us who have been immersed in it longer tend to be more negatively trained. And that I think that's really what it is. We are more habitually oriented toward looking at the negative side of things. So it takes us a little longer to get out of it. Doesn't mean we can't get out of it. Doesn't mean we cannot break the pattern. We can. In fact,
Absolutely. That's
what we're constantly working on. It's just that... I get a little bit jealous of the little kids, to be honest. You know, the 13, 14, 15-year-olds, not little, but the younger kids. Because, boy, it's so much easier for them. Like, I want to be like that.
But it really is such an amazing thing when and actually, I had one of them recently that I was spending some time with. I didn't even realize my body language. I had to have him back and have a meeting with one of my other clients, and we were running a little late. So I get stopped by the stoplight, and I guess I just went, just made some kind of noise like, I'm frustrated with this. And he looked at me and goes, we're going to get stopped every stoplight now.
Well, that's the other thing. When you start believing in this stuff and teaching it, all of a sudden it keeps coming back to you.
Absolutely. And I laughed and I said, no, I said, because you stopped that, I appreciate you pointing that out, but I didn't realize I had even made the sound.
Sure.
And it's just a default way of thinking. And sure enough, we went back with no red light stoppage after that. And it was really awesome to see somebody else point that out. But the little lapses we have during the day with this way of thinking can build on themselves, and you can, you know, wait for that next shoe to drop, or I know this is going to happen, or, you know, and it's been a very busy couple of weeks for me, and I have found that when my mind stays where it should be, I get everything done, and I'm not overstressed. Mm-hmm. When I overthink it or start anticipating the next problem, that's when it becomes feeling out of control. And that's where this bizarre world of the law of attraction can take place, because when things get out of control, there's a level of fear that takes place inside of me of, I'm not going to be able to do this. And then I can say, well, I'll lose this client if I don't get this done. That'll be a loss of income, and this blah, blah, blah. And I spiral and find myself in a fear-based way of thinking. And I make very poor decisions in a fear-based way of thinking.
Well, I think we all do, and that is obviously the big challenge, because it's so easy to fall into that space. In fact, I love the fact that you point out the interaction between you and the young man who was riding with you in the car. Because I had a similar situation with my wife this weekend. Again, we were dealing with these issues over the weekend, and she was trying to help me through them. And she made this one suggestion that I actually had thought of a number of years ago. I hadn't thought of it since. And it kind of caught me square between the eyes, because it really wasn't one I normally would think about, but I had to admit, it actually addressed the problem in a positive way that I hadn't been thinking about. It kind of shakes you up, you know, when you get this new way of thinking about something that you hadn't thought about before. It shakes you up. And that's what I was. I was in that shook up position. And I can't say I was really comfortable yet, because I was still in the negative mindset. Well, I was emerging from the negative mindset, so I was still feeling discomfort. But I couldn't evade the fact that she was right. This solution that she proposed really was a solution that would get me into a more positive space and actually produce some real concrete positive results.
That's so good that you have a partner that is able to help with that, because when a family or partners have a connection where they can use the law of attraction in the positive manner, and if one side starts to feel down and low, instead of allowing that to be a double spiral downward, she handed you a tool which pulled you right back up, and she pulled you up to her, which is a great thing to have in your life. It really is a blessing.
It is a great thing to have in your life. And for those who feel they don't have it in their lives, actually you can. You don't have to have a primary relationship in order to have it. All you really need to do is find a friend.
Find friends. Having you know, believe it or not, the online community with the Law of Attraction has several wonderful groups on Facebook, which are incredibly supportive, and they offer all types of I see it all the time. Somebody will type on, say, I'm having a really bad day. Here's what's going on. They get some very constructive suggestions, and so their stuff is out there. You're within your community. But having the ability at the end of the day, when you can develop the ability within you, it's great to have the support, but within you sort of becomes where it becomes such a default way of thinking. We need to change our default way of thinking and not allow the fear to create more fear and more evil and bring about more of the stuff in our life that we don't want, because you when you fear your finances, you aren't, unfortunately, you know, I'm fearful that my finances are really bad right now. I'm fearful that I will lose my house. I'm fearful that all this stuff, you start to think that way. And then it's a snowballing effect that starts down a path of exactly what you're fearing.
And the cool part is if you turn around and you start, instead of being fearful, start being intentional, then it goes in the opposite direction.
That's the piece that we're, the only reason, I don't even like discussing the negative like we're discussing on some level, but what I do like to do is point out that there's an equal side to either side. It works, and if people are more willing to say, yes, I get that negative way of thinking is a destructive pattern, well, if you can buy that, then you certainly should be able to say this other way of thinking is a driver in the opposite direction.
Yeah, really, it's just a question of recognizing what that other mode of thinking is.
Yes.
Recognizing it for what it is.
That's so important, Walt, and that's where the bizarro world of the Law of Attraction, the opposite side, exists. And by identifying it, and realize when you see other people, not that we're sitting here judging other people, but you mentioned the election that is churning, and you know, on the Republican side in particular right now, where they're just constantly negatively attacking each other, calling each other names.
It's particularly stark this time around. That's what makes it such a good example. It is so obviously in the negative camp right now that you can hardly even avoid it.
It's gotten to a point where you almost are anticipating who can come up with the most negative statement.
Oh yeah, that's the contest.
And there's you know, one or two of the people that, and I find it interesting, one or two of these folks are actually trying to maintain a high road. Most of them are being negative, but one or two are, you know, I just want to talk about the issues. I think these are good people, and they're polling very low. So it's interesting.
Talking about that particular thing, why is it that politicians who try to take the high road poll low, particularly in this election? And I think there's a reason for that. Without getting into political sides, politics is like everything else. It's about storytelling. The public face of politics is storytelling. And the thing that captures my attention, or maybe I should say fails to capture my attention, about the people who are taking the high road is that their stories aren't really stories. They're positions, but they aren't really telling you any stories that make you feel good. And right. That's the key. I mean, I don't care what industry you're in. I don't care what part of life you're looking at. Stories are what drive motivation, positive or negative. So if you want to encourage positive motivation for yourself, start telling yourself stories that are positive. Start listening to stories that are positive. Take this lesson away from the politicians who think they're taking the high road, but really are only barely doing it. I mean, it's not like they're putting out a whole lot of effort. They're putting out there, well, I think we should take some positive policy. Okay, good. Now, tell me why I should get excited about that. Oh, well, I don't really have anything to tell you. That doesn't cut it, guys. You got to actually dream the dream. You got to actually put context to the dream, and you got to make it have detail. And you have to be able to imagine that it plays out in certain ways. You got to tell the story.
And to your point, if you go back into previous politicians, and again, I'm not taking any sides because I'm going to offer actually two opposite people in a lot of ways, but one thing that Ronald Reagan would do, he would go tell a story. Almost every time he would give
a speech, he was a master storyteller.
He could tell you a story and comfort you so much with that story. And even though he could be, they had a rough political battle, it was always with respect, and it was always some humor attached to it. He just made you feel really good. And in another case of that, Bill Clinton was a great storyteller.
Absolutely, and still is.
Yes, and he's able to, you would hear both of them talk, and you, and again, very different political views in a lot of ways, but at the same time, very good storytellers. And their perceptions on even on people that really, really, I hear constantly, even from a hardcore Republicans right now, that, boy, I wish we had a Bill Clinton running right now. Or I hear Democrats say, boy, why do we have a Ronald Reagan right now? Something along those lines, even though they were opposite parties, they're people that appreciate the storytelling behind them and the warmth attached to that. And so your point is so well taken that so much in life is the storytelling and understanding. We use stories as a communication device, so you bring people to relate together using stories.
We absolutely do. And not only are stories communication devices, they are also modes for expressing emotion.
Yes.
And emotion is, as we both know, it's a very key part of the law of attraction, of how we can put the law of attraction to work for ourselves and how we can measure how well we are using the law of attraction to our benefit or how poorly we're using it to our detriment. Stories are all tied up with emotion. In fact, if you have a story that has no emotion in it or has so little emotion that it's almost undetectable, it usually is a lousy story. I don't care what the story is about. It's usually just plain boring. And because it's boring, it doesn't hold anyone's attention, including yourself, which means you don't actually gain any benefit out of it.
Completely. And that's leading us in the same bizarro world law of attraction topic that we started with. If you're telling your story to yourself, and the most important storyteller is the internal dialogue we have with ourselves. It's what we tell ourselves. It's what we believe. When your story is fear-based, and when it's based in the evil thoughts of that opposite side, unfortunately, that's how we keep getting stuck in that pattern. When your story is uplifting, it has a motion toward the positive. Everyone that has achieved something of greatness, in my belief, they will tell you a story about how either a failure or a low point or a tragedy propelled them further. And one of the things that I thought about, and I don't know if we've actually talked about this on the show any great length, but years ago, John Walsh's son, Adam, was killed. and it was horrible. A pedophile had killed Adam, and it was gruesome, and I won't even get into the details, but if everybody Google search Adam Walsh, you can find out what happened to him. And John Walsh was devastated. Him and his wife were devastated. Their six-year-old son had been taken from a Sears store and mutilated. So there's nothing more negative or evil about that story, nothing. However, what John Walsh eventually did was he started working on legislation to require pedophiles to be registered. He started making a lot of changes, and there's tons of legislation that he instituted that became law around the country. Walmart, to this day, if there's a missing child in the store, they lock the doors. If you are ever in a Walmart and you hear the term Code Adam, the store is locked down. You cannot leave that store until that child is found. And they call the police, and it's amazing. Not that the evil that perpetrated this was horrible. His response to it has saved thousands of lives. Now, nobody wants Adam to die for that. Maybe hundreds of thousands of lives because of how the world started understanding how that particular evil manifested itself and how the world was able to respond. And we do a much better job than we did back when that happened in stopping these people and identifying these people from harming our kids. So a positive of monumental proportion came out of from an unbelievable evil.
Oh, yeah.
And that's to hear him talk and tell the story. It's very uplifting. It changed the world. Of course, he's known for his America's Most Wanted, which has captured, I forget how many thousands of wanted fugitives that are dangerous to society anyway.
But still, it's a fabulous story. And along with it is the recognition that stories don't have to be that big. In
yes.
fact, one thing that I found early on was my... it's not so much I found it, it's that I decided early on that I wasn't very good at telling stories. Because every time I tried to tell a positive story about myself, I kept running into a wall. I couldn't do it. I kept, you know, running out of ideas of what to do with my story, to put it mildly. And it wasn't until I finally recognized that I told stories regularly that I started to get shaken up and said, you know what? This is something I can learn. And the way I knew that is because of all the negative stories I told myself. I'm actually very good at telling negative stories. We all are. We have
yeah.
lots of years of practice. We're very, very, very good at it. And as you say, we do it through our self-talk. Well, if we can tell a negative story, we can tell a positive story. It's just changing the terms around, changing the stories around. That's all. It's still storytelling.
And I use that, I know in my counseling, in my personal life, and in my inner dialogue, my stories all have a very negative, evil portion to them in a lot of ways. And the law of attraction side that I choose to focus on is what the downside brought to me was the upside, how I was able to change the tide with that, just similar to you know what Mr. Walsh did in saving other children. That doesn't bring Adam back, but at the same time, he was able to bounce off of that evil, negative bottom and turn things around. It's still an uplifting story, even though it has a bad part to it. And you have learned in telling your story to, it could be negative for a portion as long as you see where the law of attraction makes the turn and takes it to the positive, because My story, where I often talk about, we talked about this multiple times, of my horrible addiction where I was found myself homeless in Las Vegas eating out of a trash can. Well, that was an incredibly horrible downtime in my life. Well, that turned out to be one of the greatest turning points in my life. I just didn't know it when it happened because I later adopted a child that had been horribly abused and neglected that had a similar experience that we bonded over that. So by going retroactively back to the trash can, I changed the inner dialogue of that story from one of the worst days of my life to a necessary learning event, which eventually allowed me to bond with my son.
In fact, this whole concept of returning to a situation like that is the basis of your book. I mean, you keep
absolutely.
Returning to this bench, and this bench, because you've returned to it so many times, has played a tremendous role in your life, and now it's playing a role in other lives of people who are reading your book. But there's a clear example. You took a repeated activity and turned it into something for positive.
And we can all do that when I find ourselves if the same thing keeps occurring in your life, if you keep facing the same thing every so often, then you're having resistance to the law of attraction working on your behalf at that point.
And you're also getting constant reminders about the thing you need to work on.
Yes. Yes. It's such a... The universe gives you what you need to work on. If money is just an ongoing thing, I use money because that's what most people come to me about that have tried this a long time.
Especially in this economy, I think there's a lot of people who are struggling with money. I've been struggling. I know lots of people have. So it's not a surprise. It's not like you're abnormal or unhealthy if you've got a money issue going on. It just means that's what you need to work on.
Well, that's the important thing. By taking the importance away and taking the fear away of it, you stop bringing that to the table all the time. And that becomes the hard. It's so hard to get people to understand that, you know, worrying about it doesn't bring you what you're thinking to do. But stop worrying is not as easy as that sounds when you're facing bills. So,
in fact, I just realized something, Joel. I actually left something out of my little story I told earlier about my wife and how she was giving me an idea. I didn't even tell you what the idea was, did I? It's like, what am I thinking today? Let me tell you what it was. It was about finances. It was about the fact that our cash flow has been pretty weak lately, and I needed to do something. But I've been self-employed now for, how long has it been? It's been 15 years full-time and 20 years part-time. And I really didn't want to have to go get a job somewhere. And I couldn't even imagine what I would get a job doing anyway, because my skill set is no longer designed for the job workplace. It's now designed for the entrepreneurial workplace. And she said to me, well, you're good at computers. Why don't you do what your brother did for a while? Why don't you go out and help people, you know, do some personal tutoring, working with them on their computers? And that's where I had my palm on the forehead moment, like, oh, yeah, I'm good at that. Why didn't I think of that?
Wow. Yes. When you have, and the great thing again, you have an incredible partner that's able to help you with these things. And when you
absolutely. I love her so much.
Yes. And you know, you have that could be a reminder of what you need, that daily awakening, that daily reminder that we, each of us, struggle on a daily basis on different things. There's no, I don't want our audience to think, you and I, because I think we do a real good representation of one of the reasons we do this show. We certainly are believers, but we certainly struggle on occasion with certain things within this.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why I find it so fascinating that as much as I believe it, and I believe it to the core of my being, I still find myself on that other side. I still find myself running at a stoplight. I still find myself, you know, like it's a personal attack from the universe.
Okay, all the time. It's like, at some point I ask myself, okay, well, when are you going to stop focusing on that stuff and start focusing on the stuff you want?
Right. In tune with what we're wanting, you know, one of the things, an exercise that I had a lady that worked, a client this week, this worked very well with her. The first 15 minutes she told me, you know, she was giving me a rundown of everything that was crazy and wrong in her life. And it was extensive. And I
Well, she's
I
been
said,
busy
okay.
then.
Yeah, she's very busy. So I said, okay, that's good. So I jotted down a few of them. I didn't need to write them all down. So I said, okay, I would like to start the list of all the things that are right in your life. She just looked at me and nothing right in my life.
And I'm laughing, not because I'm laughing at her, but because I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah, I looked and I said, you look to be pretty healthy. She said, oh, yeah, I'm very healthy. I said, okay, well, so we got one. She, oh, yeah, my health. I'm going,
yeah, but that's obvious.
Yeah, I'm like, Well, do you understand that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around in our country right now that would gladly change, give you everything they have for your health? Because it does. If you don't have health, none of the other stuff matters.
Which means having good health is a, what's the word again?
Positive!
Yeah, so she's like, so, okay, she got that, and so she was, as we were talking, she said, but, okay, so I have my health, but everything else is bad. I won't go through the painstaking time that we went through, but by the time we were done, you know, the stuff that was she thought was so bad, she had such an abundance of positive things going on in her life. She had a great place to live. She had plenty of food. She had electricity. She had, you know, health, good transportation, a good job.
And the mind, I'm just thinking of the mindset that I've been in when I've been trying to get to the point that you're trying to get her to, which is, well, yeah, I've got the health. I've got the food. We got a roof over our head. I got a job. I got all these things. But everything's still going wrong.
Right. Well, and what helps me a lot with this is, again, my work in dealing with some of the kids that I deal with that literally have to eat nothing. I mean, they some of these kids have the clothes they're wearing. That's their everything they have.
And they're the ones who get it fastest.
They get it the easiest. It's amazing to me. I have bought so many pair of shoes for kids, it's not even, you know, and I'm not saying that in a bragging way.
No.
You know, but I've had kids that, you know, one young man, you know, was just talking, and this young man, Bob, that we were talking about before, he's doing so well, and, you know, he lives in a foster home. The mom, very nice lady, and you know, he mentioned something about a pair of shoes that he wanted or whatever. You know, I not that shoes are going to make anybody's day. I just went and bought a pair of shoes. It's just the idea that they have nothing but yet can get it the easiest. And the people who have the most have the hardest time getting it tells me the disconnect in the concept.
Yeah, it's a disconnect in the concept, but it's also the disconnect in application.
Yes.
Because we tend to get ourselves into that negative place, and when we're in that negative place, we actually fight to stay there sometimes.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're discussing here. We're describing people who have got so many things that they can be pointing to that are positive. You don't have to actually be in a bad place like a kid who has nothing but the shirt on his back. You can actually be in a good place and still get this stuff. It's not like the only people who can get this are the people who have their backs against the wall. Because that's not the truth. Anybody can get this. Anybody can apply this. Anybody can get better. The difference...
You see this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the most successful people in the world understand this concept, and they create billions of dollars of wealth because of this concept. I know Bill Gates. I know Jim Carrey. There's several people that use, honestly admit openly to this concept of using this concept of, yes, I use the law of attraction on my behalf. That's how I get what I get. And it's so on anybody on the spectrum, and it doesn't take you to be at the bottom, but I just find it fascinating that people at the bottom actually do get it. They have less reason to. They have less proof that what they're believing can really work than the people that really do have something, and they don't think it can work. You know, it's that's what I always find amazing. But you had mentioned the word that you know we sometimes fight there. One of the titles of one of my future books is Addicted to Depression, and in some ways,
nice title. I like that.
Thank you. I when I was in the depths of my addiction, I knew, and I was in a full-blown, horrible depth depression, and I was man of all I thought was negative, and I would manifest nothing but depression and less, just, it was horrible. And that's what I kept bringing in my life.
In fact, I also can think of what the sequel to that book is. The sequel to that book is Addicted to Success.
Yes. I love that. But the addicted, when I was in depression, I can actively remember not wanting to feel better. I can't describe why, but I had become comfortable in my depression. And I find people, they become comfortable in their negative thinking, and they will fight to stay there. This lady defended for a solid 45 minutes the other day her negative view of everything, and then by the last 15 minutes, she really had lost her defense because she realized that instead of everything being wrong like she thought, probably 10% of the things weren't going as she really needed in her life.
And the really cool part is that when you go through that kind of litany, when you go through listing all the negatives and all the positives, and doing the positive honestly, because that part's easy to skip over. But when you actually go through that litany of work, of writing it out, of sitting down with pen and paper or on a computer or however else, and literally listing one after another, writing out every single positive, every single negative, it shifts you. I don't care what state you're in. I don't care if you're in a positive, negative, or neutral state. It's going to shift you because all of a sudden your perspective changed just by listing them.
Well, and that's such a great thing, and a little thing that took place in my life, which I was really proud that I went to a default way of thinking. I have the house I live in, I think, is 3 years old. I moved in, had it built, I moved in, and it's I love my house, it's great. Well, the other day I went to get water, you know how the water's in the door, you press it up against the little thing. Well, the water won't come out. There was a time...
How dare it?
Yeah. There was a time when that would have been, oh my goodness, I can't believe my brand new refrigerator, blah, 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 blah. Simple thing, real quick. I have some bottled water that I use these... I keep a lot of... I go to the gym, I have these stainless steel bottled waters that I keep in my refrigerator, just full of water. And when I go to the gym, I throw this thing in there, and I keep refilling, have a little water purifier. No big deal. I didn't even think for a moment. I just wrote on my calendar, call repairman. Mm-hmm. That's all I wrote. And I realized later that there was no negative feeling attached to that. It really wasn't. It was, okay, that's just a thing to do. I never thought, oh, my gosh, that's bad. I didn't think, oh, my gosh, that's great. My water's broke. I just didn't care.
There's also another thing, too, though. And what you said there, I didn't care, that's what cued in my mind. Because... I didn't care certainly is a lot better than, oh my God, it's gone, everything's going to heck in a handbasket. But the one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to get stuck at the indifference level. Because I've done that a lot.
Well, and yes, and you get in that neutral state. And almost when I say I don't care, and I probably clarify, those are negative connotation words. I don't care. I obviously want my water to work. I looked at it like this was a blip in the road. It's going to take one quick phone call. I want it to work, but it's not by any means going to upset my day because it's not working,
right.
Which is great.
Yep.
Where there was a time when I would at least spend 3 minutes going, And wallowing it a little bit, not bad, but it's gotten to a point where I just moved on, and I didn't even realize it until after I called, and I had the extended warranty from Lowe's on the refrigerator, so I didn't have to worry about historically that warranty would have ran out, of about a day before probably is what I would have thought, but no, I just called and they have my number attached to it. I looked it up, and she said, yes, you have that, and let's get a man out there. It's great. And
that's the point right there, what you just said. That's what I was trying to lead up to, because the good part was that you didn't get all worked up about it. You just dealt with it as something that had to be dealt with. The best part, though, is that when the thing finally got dealt with, your reaction was, great, this is fantastic. And that's the point that we often forget to get to. When the thing gets solved, we have to remind ourselves, celebrate, feel good.
Yeah. Well, and that's the piece that I'm so excited about is this, again, I called Lowe's expecting, oh, boy. I wasn't expecting, oh, boy. There was a time when I would be like, oh, boy, it's going to take forever. I literally called. The lady put me through to the right person. She looked it up by my phone number. She said, yes, you have this for another 4 years. When do you want the guy to come out? And I've looked, this is amazing. This worked exactly when you buy the warranty like you hoped the warranty would work. It worked exactly like that. and so I was so happy that not only did I have the warranty in place, I called. They did their part. What a great world when things click like that. That's how it was intended to work.
It is, and the message in there is, what a great world. It's not just even when it works. What a great world, period. End of sentence, full stop.
And that helps so much when you can, you know, when we look at it. And I didn't even really realize all of this thought process until after this whole thing had gone to the next day. I go, that went really easy.
What wow. A great indicator, though, is of how far you've come with your thinking. Because you have demonstrated through this little story, by the way, here's the power of storytelling, but through this little story, you have demonstrated how you have actually changed your habitual thought process to the point where you now habitually think positively. That's so cool!
Well, it's such a relief, because the minutia of my life that used to trip me up has really nothing but positive attached to it anymore. And that's such a great thing. And as I can even remember thinking that, well, if it's not even under warranty, I had just happened to see a really great deal on a refrigerator, I'll go buy a new refrigerator. Fortunately, I didn't go make that impulsive buy, but I don't really need it. It's just my way of able to right now look at it in a worst case scenario. There was a time in my life when I was eating out of a trash can. The fact that the water dispenser on my refrigerator doesn't work is really doesn't rank up there at all.
Yeah, that's pretty small compared to eating out of a trash can.
And so just like you're saying, well, the idea to realize, wow, this was handled. I view this as a very positive experience right now. I don't view it as a negative. This is a positive. So.
I have to ask you, was there a smile on your face? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
So here's the irony of it. You had what many people would potentially consider to be a traumatic experience, and you were smiling about it.
I'm loving the fact that I do what I've been training my mind to do. I was able to recognize it in relatively close to the moment. My trash can story is a great story, but it took me 20 years to realize it. A chain of events had to happen before I realized what a blessing that was. Whereas this was an amazing event that I identified within a little bit of time of it happening, going, wow, I'm able to not only live it, but actually see how it happened and bring more about that. And so no matter what comes along in my mind, I'm able to do that. And you know, I have a lot of little stories like that where it just works perfectly. And that's what I like to see people do. And in the bizarro world where everything's going negative, that's when you blow these phone calls up to the lows and it turns into a crazy event and the guy can't come out for 6 months and your warranty's expired or this didn't happen. It's like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. The fact that we can have these little events that we get to shape through our thought process every single day is the reason why this whole concept of going through your day at the end of the day with someone else, ideally, although you can do it yourself too, it's easier to do it with somebody else. And just as a joint exercise, trying to remember what went good today, what worked out. What was the good part of the day? Or what were the good parts? Can you think of three of them? That's what Louise and I do. What three things can we think of today that we're really glad happened today? Or that we achieved, or that happened to us, or whatever. Any three good outcomes. And that exercise helps us remember that the good things actually happened.
Yes.
Our tendency is to skip over that. Our tendency is to just ignore the fact that something worked out, because, oh, well, that's supposed to happen. And then go out right onto the next negative thing. Whereas what we really need to be doing is the opposite of that. We need to be dwelling on the stuff that worked out really, really well and not worrying about, you know, the next thing that we have to deal with, just, you know, what's the next positive outcome we can feel. That's the secret to success right there.
That reminds me, like that lady that was in the office, her inability to see that her life had so many positives in it already. All she could see was just what she thought was these glaring negatives. And in reality, she stopped, looked, and turned her way of thinking. And that's what, when you go home and you and Louise sit down in the evening and you start talking, and you go up with the three things, four things, five things, whatever.
No, well, actually, when you first start off, you usually are trying to find one.
But then it also builds.
It does, yeah. You just have to stick with it.
Yes, and so that idea that you can identify those things, that's where your focus lies. That's the law of attraction in a nutshell, is if you can identify the things right in your life and feel good about those things and focus on those things, that's where the rest of it all starts to come in. When we start to push stuff away is when our focus is on the negative. It's just how it is. When I used to do evaluations, you know, I've worked for companies and I've had, you know, 50 employees that I had to do evaluations for in the past. And I would tell everybody, and I've never given a perfect evaluation to anybody. That would mean that you're doing it perfectly. That would mean that everybody needs to work on something. But I want to also express I go to great lengths to explain their positives and not just give them a 5, which is the highest rating scale on their positives, but also like to put a note, you know, nobody does this better than you. What an amazing, you know, so I really take time on my evaluations to do that. If there's an area, you know, maybe you need to improve on your report writing. Might give them a 4 instead of a 5. So, you know, they're on time all the time. I appreciate that, but maybe some more detail. That's an example.
Mm-hmm.
Of everybody, you know, 50 evaluations a year for, you know, 10 years. So let's say 500 evaluations minimal. I never have anyone focus on the 99 extremely positive things I said. They would only focus on the one that I suggested they need help or need to improve on.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100 things were talked about. 99 you did great, but the one area that I gave you a 4 instead of a 5, so maybe you need to put a little more energy and effort to this, was set. It was just greedy. I can't believe you said that.
There are two sides to this helping other people thing. Because that's obviously what Louise and I do each night, and that's what you can do with anybody. I'm sure you do it with the kids that you work with and the people you counsel and so forth, but also probably in your private life too. But there are two aspects to why this is so powerful. Obviously, number one, you're helping the other person. The other person benefits when you can help them celebrate the good things, when you can help them refocus on the good stuff that happened in life. But there's a secondary benefit, the one that we don't tend to think about, which is when you help somebody else, you actually help yourself.
Absolutely.
Because when you're helping somebody else, it makes it so much easier for yourself to focus on your own positives. And that's the part we can so easily skip over, but man, oh man, that is really powerful. You want to gain control over your own life, you want to gain control over your own thought process, help somebody else. Help somebody else to focus on their own positives, because inevitably, your own positives come much easier.
One of the things that, one of the tools that plays right into exactly what you're saying is when someone comes to me and we're trying to figure out what direction they need to go in their life, and they say, I don't know what I want or what I want to do. And my first response is find somebody who does and help them reach their goal while you're figuring yours out. If you do that, that will change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that... And
it sounds counterintuitive when you first hear it. It sounds like, why does somebody who's already achieving their goal need my help? It doesn't sound right, but it actually makes sense.
What it does is, first of all, it you get out of your own way of thinking when you do that. You help somebody else achieve their goal. Normally, a person that is that all pushing forward on a goal is a positive person already, moving in that right direction. So you're going to be putting yourself in an environment with successful people who are thinking in the correct way. When you find yourself, who you surround yourself with is very important. I do not, I laughingly say, I have the most diverse friendship group in the world. I have people I consider my friends that are 12 years old. I have 90-year-old friends. I have gay friends. I have fat friends. I have skinny friends. I have liberals. I have conservatives. I have everything you can, even lawyers, believe it or not. And I have all of that, but I do not consider negative people my friends. Not because I'm trying. trying to be mean, I just can't have that energy around me.
Well, plus it's hard. It's hard to be drawn to somebody negative when you're feeling positive.
Exactly, and that's my one prerequisite to identify who's friend is people who can. And I'm not saying people who practice it perfectly all the time. Certainly, I don't know anyone who does. But people in my life that generally think positive are people that I find invigorating. I have had sessions, Walt, where I walk in, and it seems like instantaneously the session is over, an hour passes, and it was impossible that was an hour, much like our show every week when we talk. And then I've had clients that walk in, and I look at my clock saying, surely it's been an hour, and it's been 5 minutes. because there are energy drainers, and it's generally the people that are very, very negative.
Oh, yeah.
People who have a, I think there's a hidden force. It's just not visible to the eye. But when you and I talk, there's never a show that you and I do that I don't feel invigorated after the show.
Oh, me too.
I feel good. And that is when two people with like energies lift each other up. But you have to be careful. Not that we don't want to help everybody that we can help, but if somebody isn't getting this constant, you cannot allow someone else's negative to drag you down constantly, because it'll drain your battery. And that's a moving forward with the law of attraction and understanding that bizarro secondary opposite world. People are going to be there. It doesn't mean we can't try to help them, but we can't live in that with them, or we become that.
Right.
That's an important fact, too.
In fact, when I find myself talking to somebody who's in that really negative mindset, honest to God, you know what I do? I laugh at them.
Yeah.
I really do. I laugh at them. I have to admit it. It's true, because it's how I maintain my defense against their negativity.
Yes. It's such a one lady that I have witnessed make a miracle happen in her life is she has some form of sort of a rare colon cancer, not your normal colon cancer, and she had just a lot of negativity with her, and she was undergoing, you know, the doctor prescribed treatment, which it was keeping it at bay, but she wasn't getting any better. And every day she would wake up and anticipate her. She had to draw her own blood to test something, and I'm not exactly sure what that was, but sort of like a diabetic, but it was something else. And she would wake up, and it would just go down, and she would anticipate it going down, and she was miserable. And she spent 2 years while she's undergoing treatment living in the misery. And after she had an awakening of talking with someone with the law of attraction, who eventually sent her to me, we changed her mindset. Now, her treatment didn't change. She maintained the treatment she had. But when she changed her mindset, the treatment put her in remission. It kept her at bay for a while, but she was still actively having cancer, whereas putting herself in remission and being positive, she started visualizing. We talked about the health stuff in the past quite a bit. But her view of everything changed. Her perspective of everything changed. And it created a miracle in our lives. All of our listeners need to understand, we tell them every week, that this is the answer. It's learning how to use it is the frustrating part. We share your frustration, but you can change your life instantly. It doesn't take tomorrow. Right now, you can instantly change your perspective to positive. Get excited about this stuff and focus on what is going right in your life. It changes everything.
And like we discover every week, like we just discovered right now, time flies when you do it, because we just ran out of time.
Well, sorry to hear that, my friend.
You just talked about that, but Joel, it's been great as usual.
All right, good to talk to you.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Clap along if you feel
friends to